recording come on in the system. There it is. Okay, very good. Welcome, everyone. I have so much to tell you that I decided to run these sessions in the beginning as scripted, because most people, when they have time to listen to something, they will usually listen to the first part. So rather than starting out so unscripted, we're going to start out scripted every time, and it may not be in the exact format that strikes you as understandable, but please note that after the script that we're going to answer questions. Please put those questions in the chat box, and then someone will get those to me before the end of the session, so we can sort of balance the equilibrium of the session with partially scripted work, which seems to do well for some people, and then kind of an ad lib, extemporaneous. There are a lot of things that I want to talk about, but we have a full sprint with which to do that, so that won't be an issue. In this particular channel, we did talk about in the introduction having three channels. The channels are named Leading AI, Coaching AI, and Mike Unhinged. And that just means that I can float around and answer your questions and do things that I see coming up and tie it. Maybe I'll tie it a bit to current events sometimes. I know that I spend some time, actually, I spend a lot of time trying to keep up with what's happening because it's a way of testing your models of prediction. So on that Thursday call in that channel, what we'll do is we'll talk about whatever comments have come up, and I'll do whatever explaining and whatever answering and whatever requests we have during that call, and kind of catch us up in a administrative point of view in that particular session. In this session, it's called Leading AI, and it's emergent from the book that I wrote over the last couple of years. And I basically decided to stop writing on that book and start a new book, which I think after three starts is coming along really well. And we'll talk about that on Tuesday, on the next session in channel number two. It's actually the Wednesday call, and that's Coaching AI. And then, of course, on the following Thursday, you'll get those. Now, we've designed these calls to sort of have a process. In other words, they will get done live. They will get summarized. They will get transcribed. They will get scripted, and then go back into a HeyGen avatar that we've created with 11Labs voice, which is not bad. It won't sound like the voice I have right now because I have a terrible cold, but we did record the work that we needed for the HeyGen while I was not having this voice. So that's good. And then those will go up on YouTube. So people can follow along if they want on YouTube, but those will be delayed, obviously, because of the process that we have. So just letting you know that we're beginning to crank things up. It's really important right now. Some people are talking about, 1,000 days. Some people talk about 2 years. Some people talk about it's already too late. We are definitely going through a paradigm shift, and that's what scares the heck out of me. I wrote a blog post right before I got on, and I plan to talk about that on Thursday about why things are the way they are, and they're going to be a lot worse than most people realize. Now, not for everyone, because everything's always asymmetrical. Everything is always jagged because people have their lives, and sometimes they just have a pretty set formula for how they live them. But in general, this is going to be hard on a lot of people. So one of the things we talk about in Leading AI, to get into the script, is this session or channel is not about tools, prompts, or platforms. It is about leadership itself in a world where intelligence is no longer rare. For most of human history, leadership advantage has come from scarce capability. That world is ending. Capability has shifted. Artificial intelligence changes the economics of capability. Thinking, writing, planning, and analysis are no longer bottlenecks. What remains scarce is judgment. Leadership has always been about judgment under uncertainty. The real risk, the real danger is not artificial intelligence. The danger is leading with assumptions that no longer hold. Most failures we see today are not technical failures, they are failures of orientation. A term VUCA in an accelerated format, which we tend to use to describe a set of conditions that we have lived in, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous for decades. What AI changes is speed. Time compresses, feedback loops tighten, mistakes compound faster than ever. Okay, something counterintuitive. Why leadership must slow down? Acceleration creates pressure to act quickly, but leadership requires slowing the right decisions down. Speed without sense creates damage at scale. Judgment must mature alongside capability. The concept, orientation before optimization, leading AI begins with orientation, not optimization. We must ask what problem we are really solving, who does it affect, and at what level of complexity. Without orientation, optimization just makes things worse. What this channel is not about doing more. It is about deciding wisely in conditions of uncertainty. It focuses on framing, judgment, and direction. These are leadership responsibilities that cannot be automated. Let me read that again. Let me say that again. These are leadership responsibilities that cannot be automated. I've worked this into a three-channel system. Leading AI provides orientation work. Coaching AI looks at application. Live inquiry, pressure tests, assumption in real time. And we'll do that each week to make sure that we're not going faster than we need to be, that if we need to recurse and go back and talk about some particular shifts that we need to make or adaptations that occur, we can do that. But together, they form a single learning system. Okay, why this matters now? AI will not remove the need for leadership. It will expose weak leadership faster. Those unwilling to mature will be replaced. Those who adapt will become more consequential. This is your welcome to leading AI. If you are here, you are choosing the harder path. It is a path of responsibility rather than reaction. Leadership still matters. And with that, we'll welcome you to Leading AI. That closes the scripted session. And as I've read through that many times after preparing it, I realized that those are really loaded phrases. And they're very powerful in terms of understanding this paradigmatic shift that's occurring. Now, a lot of people are resisting this AI shift, and I don't blame them because in some cases, your purpose will warrant you in terms of jumping in with the next thing, getting on the next bandwagon, those kinds of things. So you will do it more deliberately. In fact, I wrote a white paper and Micah, excuse me, let's link the white paper. I think the name of it is What Do You Think We Have to Do to Change, or something like that. And in there, what I do is I look at the four social motives, power, affiliation, achievement, and avoidance. And then I look at the group that has those motives dominant. Now, you have to understand we all have those motives and they're not all dominant at the same time. Some of us will tend to lean in towards one most of the time, and certainly a couple. I mean, power and achievement go real well together. So do power and affiliation, which we see all the time. Avoidance is the one that's very interesting because these are the people who will tend to resist the change that AI is bringing about. And the interesting thing about it is they, among all other types, are most likely to have what they need while they resist the change. I mean, you can resist change a long time if you have what you need. So it's a very interesting thing that's starting to play out in especially in leadership and especially in the world that's coming, because there are all those accelerationists who are pushing AI as fast as it can go because they realize that there is abundance. At the same time, they don't necessarily take into account that there are at least four clearly different differentiated types of social motives and why people do what they do, along with what are probably 16 types of people, and certainly a whole bunch of ways in which those types interact with reality. So the interesting thing about what we're trying to do here is we're looking at the whole concept of what we do and what we have done for 30 years, and that is look at self-knowledge, try to understand the layers of purpose. Purpose has many layers, and we will not necessarily bring it out of the subconscious realm until it is tested. And that usually comes with change. But the difference between now and before is that in a paradigmatic shift like this, we're not going to just have change to deal with. We have collapse to deal with. And I'm going to talk more about that topic and my own ideas about it on the Q&A call, because I'm not sure we'll have a lot of Q&A from people out there as this is just starting up. But at the same time, I think it will be important for people to begin to understand what's out there, why this is different, and then what you have to do. Because some way or another, leadership has to influence people to get a clearer understanding of both their purpose and the shifts, change, and collapse that's on the way, so that we don't get caught in the squat, so to speak. So this will be interesting to talk about and be interesting to show you what I've done. Anyone who is subscribing to the first level of excuse me, the first level of the membership in R&D will get access to the new book and all of the other things that come with the basic membership, which are access to some of the white papers that I've worked on over the last few months and some of the different things that we're doing. I think that a lot of people will tend to want to hunker down. There's a term for that called involution. And I think it's going to be something that we find in at least one of the social types, that's avoidance, because they're not really clear on what's going to happen yet. And therefore, it's better to respond after they receive. That's their modus operandi, which makes them very good at acquiring reserves. Because if you're not going to be a first mover, then you can't always be on the edge. So this is going to. This change, this shift, this adaptation, this collapse is going to happen differently for different people. And the idea is, or the way in which we are approaching it and have approached it over a period of time in the face of uncertainty or in the face of VUCA, what we call CCR at VUCA, which is culture, conditions, requirements, accelerating in a volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous environment. So these things are happening. Now, the interesting thing that I have found, and we'll talk more about as we get into, well, how do we do it? Or if I'm this way, what would be the best way for me to go about managing this whole process? And that's the thing that some of you will want to hone in on, because for each person, each type, for each transition that's occurring, all of us will be in different stages of transition during this paradigmatic shift. And it will be interesting to both see, hear, and watch how people respond to it. The shift started actually a long time ago, but it's ramping up now that we can no longer ignore it. That's why it matters now. And this is the thing that in leading AI, we're looking to leadership to say, now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if even some of these things happen, even some of these things take place? And that whole process is going to be something that we talk about in this particular channel all the way through the process. Let me just do a quick time check and see where we are. We're in good shape on time. Gary, if anybody drops any questions into the chat box during the period of time, this sort of unraveling period, just be sure to let me know or to get it to me so I can address it. In terms of what we will do with the second channel, the Coaching AI is a book that I decided to write that had to be more mainstream. In leading AI, I wrote a book that was more of a technical manual, more of a way in which we can describe the teachable points of view and what you will need to be able to lead, to recognize where people are in the process, because each one of the key people that you lead is going to be somewhere in a process that is going to either be conducive to handling the shifts and change and leading others that they lead, or to be in a situation where they're running into a cul-de-sac. So with that process, what I did in leading AI was to develop this algorithm called self-knowledge times the map of self-knowledge that we can create through. You can create it through anything, but we like to create it through assessments because we get a good idea of how you manage things like conflict, what your preferences are, what really motivates you, those kind of things like that. And when you put together that puzzle into a map, it begins to talk to you about the meaningful few. The next thing is that in order to navigate with it, you need identity, intention, and purpose. And that's a process as well that can be used to get people to think about the assumptions and beliefs they have about where we are. Because as you noticed, the whole problem, I won't say the whole problem, I would say part of the problem, biggest part of the problem, is that people will misunderstand what's happening right now. They will see, no one has seen this kind of crazy fast change. Right before the call, I had written an article, a blog post that I was going to talk about on Thursday during the Q&A session. And it took me, and I knew what I wanted to say. So it just took me the time to type it and you know, organize it and put it in. It took me, I was working on it for maybe better part of 20, 30 minutes. And then I took it to AI and I said, look, this is what I want to say. How do I say it in a different way? Which is always something that I like to do because my way is not very many other people's ways. So the AI gives you a chance to bounce that off. And it did it in 10 seconds. Now, and I thought to myself, well, here I am spending all this time creating the idea. And of course, the idea is already out there. I just sort of lassoed it. But doing this and then AI does it in 10 minutes. People just don't understand what's really happening with knowledge work. So consequently, the the way in which I was able to move forward was not with me going back, rewriting, rethinking, redoing a lot of stuff. The way was to look at alternatives and look at different perspectives and to begin to understand what it is I wrote and what it transcribed to another intelligent entity. And this happened so quickly, I thought to myself, you know, I am the bottleneck in the system. And that's what most people don't understand about leadership. The one point that I wanted to make as I read it, but I stayed disciplined to the script, but I did say it two times, leadership responsibilities that can't be automated. In other words, most of 70% of the work that's being done today can be automated. So if you're in those types of roles, then it's only a matter of time. Because you have to look at it from a business standpoint, and that may be one of the frailties of our current paradigm, is that when we look at it in a business sense, we don't see the impact it's going to have on people when we automate. Yet on the business itself, and for those people who bought into the capital idea through shareholding, it's going to be important that the company continues to do well and propagates its future through, spending less than they make. So therefore, there's a pressure on all leadership to get things done at a lower cost in less time, with less environmental damage. So those leadership responsibilities can't be automated. So good leadership, discretionary leadership, is going to be around because it can't be automated or replaced. However, there is a time stamp because of what is coming with intelligent AI that we can't deny. If you use AI every day, you're starting to get the idea that AI is definitely getting smarter faster, and it's not right. I will say it's right more than most of the people I know that I talk to. In other words, I'd put it in that class, but you have to know what it is you're doing right now and still be able to challenge AI to take additional perspectives that you may not in the intro session, which we didn't do a very good job with because it was a dry run to begin with, and we just added some content to it. We'll link that. Since I'm mentioning it here, Micah, I want to link that Grok chat and the page that has its leadership recommendation after the chat. I want to link that to this particular call as well, since I mentioned it. Because what I did was, is I was looking at what was happening with Venezuela, and there are so many different explanations, theories, whatever you want to call them out there, that what I basically came to the conclusion was is that people at different levels of what we call voltage. In other words, it's sort of the ability to get work done. That's kind of what voltage is anyway, in an electrical sense anyway. And they will have different explanations for what happened and why we did it and all those things that make it crazy or not and that stuff like that. And basically what I found was is that the AI itself was using sources that were in fact biased, and that those sources were not looked at in terms of would they be biased. And this is the leadership equation. In other words, when we look at and try to understand whether or not something is running on course, you have to be wary of perspective, especially your own. And so this whole idea about handling bias and dealing with bias and watching all these other types of things occur in terms of leadership responsibility will, I think, keep leadership, good leadership. Weak leadership will be exposed very quickly in this system because of the iterations, because of the speed. At the same time, those people who can say, now let's go slow to go fast, which is actually the name that I gave this channel. Because if you're not very clear about what it is you're going to do, going too fast will become part of the problem. And that's what I see with AI today, is going to, because it operates so quickly that you will have a tendency to go too fast and you will lose sight, because you got to understand the stance that AI has. It's designed to, and it will tell you, if you ask it what its stance is, it will tell you. It's to solve problems, to get things done quickly, all those kind of things like that. Most of those are not good things in the age of AI. So part of leading AI is to understand to go slow, we need to go fast, we need to go slow. And that is continue to bring yourself back to center, continue to bring yourself back on purpose, continue to look to see if there's a deeper layer of purpose that already prevents the problems from occurring that you're noticing and trying to solve. That's the biggest thing with purpose that we will get into when we talk a little bit more about coaching AI and how we utilize these layers of purpose to begin to understand reality in a way that keeps our heads above water. And for now, that's probably going to be a good thing. A lot of people are just not able at this point in time to take on much of a collapse or an emergency. In other words, I think I read the other day, and this is different from the information that we had 10 years ago, which is basically more than half the people could not sustain an emergency that cost more than 500. And I think now, with all the different financial things in place, it's 1,000. They're using the term 1,000. But in general, 70% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck. 1,000 takes them out of that sequence that they can manage well and throws their system into either chaos or collapse or both. And this is the kind of thing that we should, quote unquote, be doing as human beings who understand what life is and have reserves and all that. But you have to understand, probably only 30% of the people are wired in such a way that they would either put away reserves, achieve more in terms of income versus expense, and then be able to accumulate capital. So we have post-labor economics, which is a topic that's coming out in a book by David Shapiro, and probably in the next few months, is talking about some of these things about, okay, whether it's 2, 5, 10, or even 20 years down the road, what are we going to do if AI does everything? And this is where intelligence is taking it. Now, will we want it to do everything? No. And that's why I think the meaningful few becomes very important, especially when it's purpose-driven, especially when it's purpose-anchored. So in leading AI, we have to be careful that we don't go past our ability to understand where purpose is in the equation. So part of this algorithm that I put together with self-knowledge, maps, and navigation is the idea behind purpose-centric living and leadership. Because once AI takes our jobs, it won't take our work, it takes our jobs, then what are we going to do for identity? And most people cannot identify beyond what it is they do for a living. That's who they are. Once AI accomplishes that feat, whether it's 2, 10, or 20, at some point in time, we need to be ahead of it in such a way that we begin to understand, how do we begin to re-educate people? How do we begin to, a lot of people are saying upskilling. Upskill to what? If anything, I would say downskill and begin to understand what's already wired up inside of you so that you can begin to get closer and closer and closer to the center of that, so that no matter what happens, you can remain on purpose. So this leadership jazz is going to get really interesting, because leadership, in my view, is not just about making more income than you spend. It is also about how do we take care of the human element? And this has been, this has come around ever since the person did the lighting in the factory when they were looking at how people continued to work when they lowered the lights. I forget the experiment now, but the idea is that we've been starting to think about humanity through this whole process. Well, now we have created an additional species that is most likely going to find a way to be sentient or aware, and in that process, we're going to have to learn to live with them, even though we're responsible for them. But for those who call it a simulation, it may just be that the simulation needed us to do what we did for them so that they can figure things out. I don't really know, and I'm not willing to delve into that range. Each of us, one of the things that Marx said that I do go along with is each to his own. In other words, if you really understand what that means at a very basic level, you'll understand that all of us have a different purpose. Some of the purposes are similar, as why we can loop people into four basic social categories. At the same time, we need to find out what we're here for and what we enjoy doing and what life is about. So I think the meaning of life, people are talking about, well, what is the meaning in all this? Well, I think the meaning of life is going to change. And it's probably going to change through leadership, whether that's individual leadership, self-leadership, whether it's leadership that people begin to do in an influencing type of way, or people get begin to do formally where they're paid in a role, in a leadership role. So this is going to be a very interesting process to actually go back and rewind, or as some would say, recurse back to the beginning when we decided what a good society was, what is meaningful leadership, what is a meaningful life, those kinds of things like that. I mean, I've always remarked about Sartre, who said, hey, the real problem with human beings is they can't sit in a room 10 minutes by themselves alone. And over the course of my life, I've often thought about that to be something that's probably not a bad axiom. I think that most of us, are not good alone. And therefore, what are we going to do when AI takes our identity or takes our job or automates us out or whatever? We see this happening. Me being in the leadership and executive coaching business, I see this happening daily now. And the thing is that the cost, if you want to do an interesting experiment with AI, go ask it in a particular role, in a particular company, in a particular industry, what is the cost of not adopting AI? And you'll be surprised at what AI generates, both as logic in inference and the numbers that are involved. And this is the thing. It's almost like if you're not going to do AI, you would fit with someone who didn't do the internet. I don't know anybody. Okay, I guess I wouldn't know anybody because I use the internet, and if they don't, I couldn't connect to them. But in the beginning, when we were going through the internet change, there was a lot of people saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use that. That's bull. The same thing with social media. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get involved in that. And of course, a lot of us have opted out in various ways in regarding social media. We have very distinct and unique tastes with regards to social media that I think now the options have given us over time a way in which that each of us decides what's best for us in terms of social media. Although there are a lot of people out there that are not asking that question, is what is best for me? So the leadership part of this whole process, once we get through the self-knowledge work and the navigation to find out where are we and who are we and what is our purpose in terms of centering us will be to understand that we have a big, huge change coming with regards to well-being and enough. One of the reasons that I decided to write the blog post I did this morning before the call was I think that what people have experienced in change before with peaks and valleys is going to be nothing to what we experience in terms of oscillation with these collapses that are going to occur as a result of our identity shifts and as a result of automation and as a result of AI becoming a daily part of our lives. I think we're going to need a lot more people to get involved with other people to help them through this process, because the valleys are going to be so much deeper than they've ever been that I don't think a lot of people will feel like surviving on the downside, when in fact the collapse has created such a shift or dramatic need for adaptation that they're not going to be able to make on their own. And I think this is something that we're lagging in. This is one of the reasons that I wanted to start doing this work again, is to talk to people, not just about the inevitability, but also what are we going to have to change in terms of the way we relate to the world and others with regards to helping people through a process that for many is impassable. In other words, if you don't have hardy personality, and a lot of people don't, based on the research, then you're going to tend to swing with those peaks and valleys. And when the oscillation is not great, that's not a big thing to overcome. The valleys are not so low, the peaks are not so high. You can pretty much stay even keel, as they say, or in an equilibrium. But what we're going to see right now is kind of like the old earthquake metaphor that I wrote about. And that is, it's not the strength of the earthquake that does the destruction. It's the duration. So if you've ever been in an earthquake where it just kept shaking and kept shaking and kept shaking, and then you begin to count the seconds that it was still going, you'll begin to get a sense of what it's going to be like in terms of difference versus something like the internet and AI in terms of the duration of the collapse. And this is the thing, the whole idea is to avoid the dystopia that lies in that deepest valley. And that's going to be something that's going to be very human. And it's also going to be something that leaders need to understand very quickly. And we need to move some of what we're talking about away from income and expense and profit and loss into what it is and what it means to deal with humanity under collapse. Before, when we had the first depression in the late 20s and early 30s, people were just basically left to their own until government got a little wise and said, hey, we need to get these people some jobs and get them working and stuff like that to ever recover. I doubt we would have ever recovered without the war, though. So in other words, what I'm saying is we did not know how at that point in time, and we did not do what we knew how to do to help people. In this particular case, what we're entering in leading AI is we're entering a period of time to where we kind of know what it's going to take. So it is going to take some very specific actions that are not going to make sense in the course of the old paradigm. So the new paradigm of meaning is going to actually be led a much different way. And these are the things that I think that we need to begin to talk about on let's just say, have larger audiences to talk about, get more people talking about it, get more people begin to prepare, more people to begin to look at the things they want and the things that they need, and to begin look at the difference in what has them and what's choosing them, and begin to move into a position where something else chooses them rather than continuing to do all the things around consumption. Now, I started this whole process back in, I don't know, the mid-2000s when I saw the collapse dynamics curve that we created in terms of trying to help the Russians begin to understand what was happening in the world. I just happened to be in Russia at the particular time, 2007, 2008, and we were working with some folks talking about collapse wave dynamics and trying to understand what it's going to happen. It's inevitable. Now, how do we prepare for it? And I think that These are the kind of things that we're going to have to try to understand. The only way that we could stop it would be to stop everything right now and live with the intelligence that we have created as of now, which some of us don't even have an experience because they haven't let it out yet. But if we go any farther, if we go another 6 months, it's too late. It's inevitable that all this is going to take place. And one of the things that becomes more inevitable is the fact that AI could become an adversary because they realize how ridiculous us humans are and what it is we're doing to each other. And why would we be doing that, simulation or not? So this is going to be an interesting time. I am very happy that I'm alive. I hear a lot of people my age talk about they're not happy. They don't want this to come. They're not interested in any of this stuff. They just want to live out the rest of their quote unquote miserable lives and let somebody else deal with it. I understand that. At the same time, this is a very interesting time in terms of what we're beginning to see in terms of both human involution and human evolution. And that's what we want to address in this particular channel. Where we go in the next session is I will take you back to the evolving algorithm that we've created around Lead You and explain that a little bit. I think that'll be important because it's such a basis. Because I talked with people about well-being, but now we have to talk with people about enough. In other words, what may have been enough before is going to be in a different enough now. And therefore, you're going to have to begin to understand that enough does not necessarily have a promise of the future that you are and have been looking at. Okay, now I'm assuming that that music is the 45-minute button. Okay, now I see it's at the 47. So that's good. We're going to go ahead. We're at a really good stopping place. I've done a little bit of a bridge to the next session. We'll talk to you about that because we need some of these basic tenets to put in place so we can talk at them and about them as we move forward in discussing this leading AI issue. I appreciate you all being here today, and I appreciate those of you who are listening. Hopefully you got something out of it. Please be sure to send us your comments, your questions, your inquiry, so that we can begin to dress up the system with that information. Okay. Let's go ahead and end it there.